and a very brief discussion from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lifetime in this planet. When Mahaprabhu had the last few 12 years in Jagannath Puri, where he had his final pastimes, which we talked about briefly on last Sunday. And it was during those pastimes that many of the important discussions between the great devotees happened. Mahaprabhu had few confidential devotees who very closely associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those days. And due to their mercy or due to their kindness, we are able to get a glimpse of Mahaprabhu's mind at that time when he performed his final pastimes in Jagannath Puri. So, in those days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was winding up or as he was finally closing down the pastimes in this material world, Mahaprabhu was very much absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, and at the same time, more than anything else, he was particularly fond of studying a few books. Studying in the sense that he was relishing these books very closely in the association of the few confidential associates or confidential devotees. Particularly, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, they were the two very close and confidential associates of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And as he was getting closer to his departure from this world, Mahaprabhu spent a lot of time in simply hearing from this great literature. And basically there were four literature which Mahaprabhu relished more than anything else. Of course, I don't have to say which one the first one was. Mahaprabhu's, the book which was closer to heart than anything else, because it is the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu was very closely attached. Closely attached means that without Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu could not sleep. That was the condition at that time. Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Krishna's time in Gokul, in Vrindavan, those days Mahaprabhu had a very tremendous attraction for that, and he wanted to hear that again and again from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. So both Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy constantly recited the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and these verses were the life for Mahaprabhu at that time. In other words, virtually most of the external activities have been come to a stop, and although he had a consciousness where it was totally absorbed in the pastimes in Vrindavanam, and Srimati Radharani's mood was manifesting in Mahaprabhu to a much higher degree than any time before. So you will notice there that during that time in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu listened to Srimad Bhagavatam more than any other time before. And not only that, he also relished to three other literature which also actually spoke about Krishna's confidential pastime. One of them is, of course, Vilumangalam Krishna Shri Krishna Karnamadam, and the other one was Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govindam. So these three books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Krishna Karnamadam, and Gita Govindam, those three books were very dear to Mahaprabhu all the time. Throughout his 48 years in this planet, Mahaprabhu simply recited the verses from these books, and it gave Mahaprabhu the feeling of enjoying the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and that kept Mahaprabhu's life extremely blissful and happy in the way he presented Krishna consciousness to this world. So from these three books, and in addition to that, Mahaprabhu also released the Jagannath Priya Natakam written by Ramananda Roy, which is also he was very attached to. So these were the books. Mahaprabhu didn't take any other books from anywhere else, but purely concentrating, focused on these books. And the verses from these books and the mood of Vilumangalam Mudam Jayadev Goswami, and of course the Mudam Sudev Goswami was what he was experiencing while listening to the verses from all these classical great devotional literature. So Mahaprabhu in those days while listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Damodar for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And particularly Mahaprabhu was interested to listen about Krishna's time in Vrindavan. That was what was giving him so much pleasure. Mahaprabhu's consciousness was remembering probably the days when as Krishna he spent his time in Vrindavan. And at that time, when Mahaprabhu was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahaprabhu was relishing Krishna Karnamagam, and when he was relishing Gita Govindam, Mahaprabhu's blissful consciousness has hit such higher level of consciousness that Srila Damodar had no alternative except to write down a diary from whom he transferred the whole information to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami later, who took it and translated that into Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, but when all these things were happening, it was during those past end of the life in Jagannathpuri that Mahaprabhu decided to present a few verses to this world. Mahaprabhu didn't spend much time in compiling literature, that he has given that responsibility to his two major disciples, namely Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, whom he has retrieved from a situation which was very unfortunate for them. So having retrieved from that situation, Rupa and Sanatana took complete shelter of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu gave them the benediction that they will be able to present the pure Krishna consciousness to this in this planet. And that is what Mahaprabhu did. So due to Mahaprabhu's mercy, Rupa and Sanatana were able to write a lot of transcendental literature which came down in the parampara to the present world. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu wanted to make certain things very, very clear. And to present that, he wrote what is known as Shikshashtakam today. So Shikshashtakam came into effect at that time when Mahaprabhu wanted to stress the importance of chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna, particularly Krishna's holy name. And to present that, Mahaprabhu wrote these 8 verses, which is known as Shikshashtakam. Shikshashtakam was spoken by Mahaprabhu. Srirup Damodar wrote it down at that time. Later on, we all have the good fortune of listening to these 8 verses from Mahaprabhu, which was the only 8 verses Mahaprabhu compiled to present the potency of the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Krishna's holy name. So, Chedo Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadhava Agni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandriga Vidaranam Vidya Vadhu Jeevanam Anandam Guri Vardhanam Pradipadam Purnam Radaswadanam Sarvatna Sovanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Niyamida Smaranena Kalam Eda Drisha Tavakriba Bhagavan Manobi Durdeva Vidrisha Mihajani Nanuragaham Trinara Vishuni Jena Tarora Visahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharim Nadhanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavalad Bhakti Hari Dugitvayim Ayananda Tanuja Kingaram Patidamam Shami Bhavam Budau Kripaya Tava Pada Pankajasti Daluli Sadrusham Vijindayam Mayanam Galada Shrudharaya Vadanam Gangadarudhaya Giraha Pulagair Nijidam Kadavabu Tavam Mama Grahane Bhavishyadim yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam ad adarshanam marmahadam karyoduvam yathathathava vidhadadhulam vado matprana nathastuna evanataram sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govindam. So in these 8 verses, Mahaprabhu presented the potency of the holy name to the best possible way that one can understand the power of the holy name and how the holy name step by step takes a person to the ultimate goal, that is the pure attachment for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So to begin with, Shreyo Chedo Darpanam Arjanam. This word Chedo Darpanam Arjanam is enough to understand that what is our present situation. Chedo Darpanam Arjanam, that Mahaprabhu says that first of all you have to clean up inside. That is why sometimes we say that, oh, I've been chanting for so many years, but my consciousness was such, the chedas was not very clean. That is why it is Chedo Darpanam Arjanam, that Mahaprabhu says if you chant Krishna's holy name thoroughly, constantly, always chanting the holy name with full faith and attachment and feeling that Krishna will protect you from all situations and give that understanding of the power of the holy name. That is what it says, Chedo Darpanam Arjanam. Then if it is happens like that, what does it mean, this Chedo Darpanam Arjanam means? Chedo Darpanam Arjanam means, normally our mind and intelligence in association with the three modes of material nature is mixed up altogether with them. That as long as the three modes of material nature, the lower modes of nature particularly, is in association with the mind, it is very difficult for Krishna to present himself inside. That is the difficulty. That due to our association with the lower modes of nature, we are not able to understand, we do not know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead present within the heart is relishing our chanting the holy name of Krishna. So because this consciousness, which is so much covered with our different contaminations, which has happened due to our association with the modes of nature, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it's essential that should be cleaned up first. Krishna also says in the Bhagavatam, same thing, exactly the same thing. Only thing is here Mahaprabhu says, by chanting the holy name, you can clean up inside. Or Krishna says in a different way. Krishna says, yadha yadha alma parimrujyade sau mal punya gada shravana bhidanehi tadha tadha pashyadi vastu sushmam chakshu divai anjana samprayuktam. Krishna says in a little different way. Krishna says to Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandam, yadha yadha alma parimrujyade sau. Then Krishna says, that in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna said, Sadhye Hridhya Varudhyade Trakritibi Shushoshubhi Tarkshanal. That Avarudhyade, that is how the Bhagavatam says, that as soon as one wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately Krishna comes in and he gets inside and he wanted to hear what this devotee wants. That as soon as one has a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna immediately walks in. But what does he find there? When he gets in, he finds it is full of places, there is no place to sit anywhere because it's so bad inside. That is Krishna's position. So, yadha yadha alma parimrujyade sau mal punya khada shravana bhidanehi. That if one constantly hears of the pastimes of Krishna, especially two things, appearance as well as the childhood, these two pastimes, Janmam and Karmam. Bhagavad Gita also says the same thing. Janma karma jame divyam evam jo veti tatvada tetva deham punar janmam edima medis orjanah. That these two things, Janmam and Karmam, birth and the childhood pastimes, they have a very special potency. The result is that if one constantly hears them, yada ayadalma parimarjadesau mal punyaghada shravanabhidane, then what happens? Tadha tadha pashyadi vastu sushmam. That vastu sushmam, that such a subtle thing, that the presence of the Supreme Lord will be felt within the heart. This is how Krishna says. Tadha tadha pashyadi, he will start seeing that Krishna is inside, he is giving you the instruction in how to act in the Krishna consciousness. That understanding will come. Today we are not getting that understanding. Why? Because we haven't got that relationship. It is still, there is so much to clean up inside. This is the problem. Tadha tadha pashyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Krishna says, just like when one has a cataract, as much as the cataract is taken away, because in the Ayurvedic system, the removal of cataract is done by a different process, not like in the modern medicine, that they have a different way of removing the cataract. And when the cataract is removed, how much our vision improves, exactly like that. Krishna says that relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord immediately gets established. So that is how Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says the same thing. Chedo darpana marjanam. What is this marjanam? Marjanam means parimarjanam. That is a word used in the Bhagavatam. Yadha yadhalma parimrajyadesu. Parimarjanam means, it is something more than marjanam. Marjanam means just cleaning up. But then when should we clean up? For example, if you have got somebody to clean up your apartment or flat or accommodation, whatever it is, then you have instructed him, that person, that you should clean this room every 3 times a day or 4 times a day. But that instruction has no meaning. For example, if 10 o'clock there is a strong wind, the whole place gets dirty, then it should be cleaned immediately. So that is how it is. That means as and when necessary, it should be clean. In other words, it should be kept clean all the time. That is the necessity. So that is why the word parimarjanam is used. Chedo darpana marjanam bhava mahadava agni nirvapanam. That is the necessity for Krishna to come in. Because when that is not clean inside, no matter how much we try hard to improve our consciousness, it is very difficult for us to get some realizations of Krishna. That's very, very hard. And bhava mahadava agni nirvapanam Shreya Kaitava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidya Vadu Jivanam. That in addition to that, that under the blazing fire of material existence, that is how it is used. Samsara Dhavana Nalita Loga. That Dhavanana or forest fire is compared to this material world, which we can see all the time how this forest fire is burning. There are so many people in acting in different ways, and due to their interaction, so many problems develop from that. And the result of all that is that it becomes a blazing fire. And that blazing fire is trying to eat us away. So before we fall into that fire, Krishna says you have to become you have to become peaceful. You have to become come out of that fire. And that is what the holy name does. That once one starts chanting the Krishna's holy names, immediately that fire is extinguished inside. That after all, the fire is always burning. The fire is causing so much problems also, individually and collectively. But the fire goes away as soon as one takes the chanting of the process of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Bhava mahadava agni nirvavanam chedo darpanam arjanam bhava mahadava agni nirvavanam. So this davagni or the forest fire only one side is going on. On the other side, due to your association with the modes of nature, all this dirt is inside. So how is that possible in this condition for us to understand what is Krishna? Who is Krishna? What do we understand our relationship with Krishna? It's not possible. That is why it says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first thing he put it in the 8 verses is Chedo darpanam arjanam, that clean up the place first. Because it's not clean, nothing is working. That is why how Mahaprabhu says about that. So this cleaning process is the chanting process. Chanting is the process by which one can clean that place. So, what is there to clean up? There is so much to clean up actually. Normally, when you look into Srimad Bhagavatam and other literature, you will find that our mind is attracted to the material energy very strongly. And that attraction affects us in different ways. For example, due to our association with the lower modes of nature, our propensities for sinful activities comes in. And due to our mental speculative nature, we also try to think independent of Krishna. This is another difficulty we have. That is why all the Vedic literature will always insist on this point, that because the heart is not clean or the mood of goodness has not built up inside, no matter how much one read books or how much one associates with devotees, because of the lower modes of nature playing its role inside the heart, it is very difficult to change that consciousness. That is what happens to most of us, that the lower modes of nature affects us strongly. And therefore, Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, that you have to come out of the lower modes of nature or come to the platform of goodness, to the mode of goodness. And it is in the mode of goodness that one can understand and see things as they are. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also the same thing. Tesham eva anukambatham aham ajnana jandhama nashayam atma bhavasto jnana divena bhaswadaha. Then Krishna says that it is then that the light of knowledge will shine in the heart. When Krishna wants that to happen. Tesham eva anukambatham aham ajnanajam tamam. That ajnanam or ignorance is inside, very, very deeply seated there. And that doesn't go away so easily. It's not possible to get rid of it. We may be very, very intelligent. We may be highly capable in many other areas in this material world. We can study, read all the books, but nothing is changing inside. Why? Why is that happening? Because nashayam yalpa bhavasto yanadivena bhasvadaha. That inside the heart, presence of Krishna is necessary. Krishna wants that. Let this person understand little bit of this Bhagavad Gita or little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then that will happen. Up to that point, it will not happen. That only when Krishna wants that to happen, it will happen to us. And that is why Krishna's mercy is important. Even one may be very capable of studying all the literature. And that is why, even in spite of putting all your best efforts, this is also another kind of ignorance in us. That with our own effort, we try to understand everything what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly Bhagavad Gita also, is beyond our understanding. That unless Krishna wants us to understand, only then we will be able to understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the way the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is, the transcendental nature of those literature is like that. So sometimes we have the difficulty that when we study these books, we try to impose our intellectual abilities to those books, to try to analyze it. Is Krishna trying to say this? Is Krishna trying to say that? And try to find out, is it in line with what the other scriptures say? What Bhagavatam is saying is the same as Srimad Bhagavatam, and things like that. This is the human nature, the human intellectual level. One try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna's answer to that is, if you try to do that, you will not understand neither Bhagavad Gita nor Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Nashayam alpa bhavasto jnanadeepena bhasvadaham. Jnanadeepam, that light of knowledge, that Krishna has to light that inside. And when that is lighted inside, automatically this knowledge will also shine inside. This is the process of understanding the transcendental knowledge. It is not understood simply by reading books and simply by using one intellectual ability. One never understands Bhagavatam in that way. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam yeyam na vilpatya na tikaya. That is how Sri Rajari Swami says about this. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam yeyam. When there is devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, by Krishna's mercy, one can understand. Na vilpatya, not by scholarly efforts. Na tigaya, not by commentaries from anybody. One will never understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Even great devotees, great personalities who have spent their life long in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, they have come to this conclusion that only when Krishna wants you to understand, then you will understand how much he wants you to understand. That's all it is possible. In fact, when Mahaprabhu recited these verses, Shikshashtakam, the eight verses relating to the holy name, even to understand these eight verses, we require the same Krishna's permission or Krishna's mercy is required, because when Mahaprabhu recited the glories of the holy name, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy could understand that. Why? Because of the special costless mercy what Mahaprabhu has given to them. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited these verses, at that time Krishna has felt immense happiness in glorifying that name, on his own name, by Mahaprabhu. And Krishna wanted that this should stay in this world. That is how it stayed all this long. Otherwise, like many other literature which has disappeared, this could have also gone. So it was Krishna's desire that these eight verses which Mahaprabhu compiled about the holy name should stay in this world. In other words, it gave Krishna so much happiness at that time. So that happiness which Krishna received, our prayer to Krishna is that a small part of that, Krishna should give it to us also, to share with us, so that we also may understand what Mahaprabhu was explaining through these eight verses. Shreya kairava chandriya vidaranam vidya vadho jivanam. That kairava chandriya vidaranam, that means that some of the lotus flower, with there is red lotus as well as the white lotus. So the white lotus opens up in the night when the moon shines, whereas the red lotus closes in the evening and opens in the morning when the sun comes out. So when the sun comes out, the red lotus opens, and when the moon comes out, the white lotus opens. So this holy name, Mahaprabhu says there, that it is like the moonshine which opens up our heart, exactly like the white lotus flower. Vidyavadhu jivanam, that it is for the knowledge, it is that thing which is like, it gives life to a life to a bride, exactly the same way that knowledge gets that. The vidyavadhu jivanam, that this holy name is the one which gives a meaning to all the knowledge what one has acquired. Anandam budhivardhanam pradipadam purnamrita swadanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Then glorifying the potency of the holy name, it says there, Anandam budhivardhanam, that it continuously increases the ecstasy of the person who is chanting the holy name. That Mahaprabhu is constantly talking about the holy name to such a degree, one starts wondering, when is this all going to happen to us? It is the question we all have, isn't it? That we constantly think that Anandam budhivardhanam pradipadam purnamrita swadanam, that one starts relishing the process of chanting. One starts relishing the holy name. Sarvatna subhanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. That chanting the holy name of Krishna, let it be always glorious, and all glories to the holy name. That is how Mahaprabhu finishes the first verse. Now, in that verse, what we have to remember is that Mahaprabhu says that this is what will happen. That Anandam Budhivardhanam Pradipadam Purnam Radaswadanam. It will be like nectar. And has it happened to anybody like all this? It has happened. That is what the history says. That the personalities like Haridas Thakur, personalities like Rupa Goswami, they are the proof that this can happen to people. There are many known people in the history who are known to us that they chanted the holy name and attained perfection. And there are many unknown people also who are not so much known due to whatever reason it is. They were not known, but they also have chanted the holy name and taken the complete benefit from that. That is what. But these verses, what Mahaprabhu has spoken, Anandam budhivardhanam pradipadam purnam radaswadanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. The Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, or chanting the holy name of Krishna, is such a thing that it constantly increases the happiness of the person. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, in all their literature, they have always stressed this one point, that if one does not chant the holy name of Krishna constantly, not that it is not being limited to 4 rounds or 16 rounds, it is constantly, that's what they were talking about. And Haridas Thakur's life, who is the acharya of the holy name, is itself an indication that how much time he spent in chanting the process, in the process of chanting. And that chanting has perfected, and the result was that Haridas Thakur's departure from this world, Mahaprabhu celebrated as the most glorious occasion. So similarly, Rupa Goswami says there, Tumde tandavinim radim vidanude, tundavali labdhaye, karna krodavidham vini gadayada karna apudebhyas praham. Cheda pangana sangini vijayade, sarvendriyanam kradam, no jane janida kriyabhiramrade, krishnedi varnadvayim. That is how Rupa Goswami says about that. That Krishnedi Varnadvayim, that these two letters, Krishna, once I start chanting them, Rupa Goswami says, Tumde Tandavinim Radim Vidanyude. Immediately, they start dancing on the tongue. And once they start dancing, Radim Vidanyude Tundavali Labdhayim, that as soon as I feel that ecstasy to such a degree, Radhi means, actually, it is the attachment. It is more than attachment. Normally, we have attachment, which is pranam or love for something. But if you go beyond than that, it goes to a much higher degree, an ecstatic stage, that is known as radhi. Tunde tandami nim radhim vidanude tundavali labdhaye karna krodhavidam vini gadayade karna bhudevyas praham. That all the senses, they become totally inert. In other words, the ears, they only want to hear about the holy name, nothing else. It's enjoying so much. Similarly, the tongue is chanting. The tongue is, you have to consider always, that the tongue is the leader of all the senses. Whatever the tongue is doing, because as we know, that there are 4 or 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. And each of the other senses have got only one function. But tongue has got 2 functions. It is a karmendriyam as well as a jnanendriyam. It is a sense of knowledge as well as a sense of action. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to tongue, Krishna says to Uddhava that jidam sarvam jide rasem, that if you don't win over the tongue, you are not won over any other senses. That is what Krishna says. That na jaye rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jide rasem. Na jaye rasanam yaval, rasanam means tongue. If you are not won over the tongue, Krishna says to Uddhava, na jaye rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jide rasem. That if you are not won over the tongue, none of the other senses will be possible to subdue them. Here's what Krishna says. So this tongue is the one which can do a lot of help also. As much as damage it can do, it can help you also. So the very tongue, which is the very cause of all the problems in this world, because if this Vagdevata or the speech, who is present in the tongue, if she doesn't talk properly, then you have to be careful in this world. So many things can go wrong if you speak in the wrong way. So the tongue can take you into the most troublesome spot. On the other hand, the very tongue can also give you that opportunity to go back home, back to Krishna. Tunde tandavi nimradim vidanude, tundavali labdhaye, karna krodavidam vini gadayade, karna abhudebhyas praham. No jani janida kriyabdiravade, krishne di varnadvayim. That Mahaprabhu Rupa Goswami says there, that cheda prangana sangyano vijayadeyim, that as soon as it comes, my chedas, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says is, chedo darpana marjanam, that my chedas, my consciousness falls into such a state of ecstasy, Rupa Goswami says, sarvendriyanam kritam, that all the senses come to a dead stop. They don't want to engage in any other sensual activities. These are all can happen. Even today this can happen. When one is chanting properly, all these things can easily happen. Because this process of chanting the holy name is the process for this age of Kali. Cheda prangana sangini vijayani sarvindriyanam kridam no jani janida kriya diramardai krishnedi varnadvayim. Then this nectar comes in that in the form of Krishna's holy name, and once they start dancing on the tip of the tongue, then one does not want to engage in any other activities. This is what Rupa Goswami's realization on chanting the holy names of Krishna. So that is, from there we have to understand, or we have to accept on the basis of the instructions from Mahaprabhu, instructions from Rupa Goswami, instructions from Sanatana Goswami and all the other great personalities who were constantly chanting Krishna's holy name, Haridas Thakur and so on, that we must remember that if it is not happening to me, or if it's not happening to us, the only reason is that I should be doing something wrong. And what is that something wrong? That's a question we have to ask, isn't it? That we have to know what is chanting process is, that how to chant properly. This is also an important thing to realize, because due to our lower association with the lower modes of nature, we also develop in everything what we do, these three modes of nature you can see. Because that is how Shastra says about that. We can't escape from that. Modes of nature is present in everything what we do, in anything and everything. There's nothing which is free from that. Taigunyal bhinna bhedam. Why people are different, one different from the another? The only difference what is causing that is the modes of nature. The modes of nature makes a person to act one way or the other. Traigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvane heenam madhyam uttamam yal. That heenam madhyamam uttamam. That means lower modes of nature, which is the tamogunam, rajogunam and satogunam. These three modes of nature controls us totally all the time. And according to the modes of nature one cultivate, one will act in that particular way. And that is present even when you are chanting the holy name. That is what you have to remember. That even while chanting Krishna's holy name, these three modes are, there is three, chanting in the three modes of nature. We can call it like that. Chanting under the three modes of nature. So when one is chanting in the lower modes of nature, you don't have to go very far to find that out. You can come to our temple room at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch some time. You will see all the three modes present there. And somebody is half slept and is chanting, is also chanting. And somebody else is walking around very fast, as fast as possible. And so because that mode of nature is pushing him to act like that. Somebody else is sitting quietly and chanting, fully focused his mind on that. So all the three modes of nature and the three modes of chanting will be present in us. And the only thing is we are not aware of this, that these three modes of nature is making me to do these things. We are thinking that, oh, I'm chanting after all, I have to finish my 16 rounds and finish this morning business, whatever that we have committed. That's one attitude. But if we chant like that, it's not that it hasn't got any effect. The only problem with that is, it will take a very, very long time to experience that, what Rupa Goswami and others are talking about chanting. That is why in the olden times means even up to about, say, 50 years ago, even up to that time, it was very considered to be very unusual, and also it was considered to be not proper to chant the holy name in a very, it's also an offensive to the holy name when one is not giving enough attention to that. And giving enough attention means to sit properly and to chant the holy name. And that is the system what all the acharyas have followed. We can't change that. Just because I am in the lower modes of nature, the holy name is not going to change. I have to change. So the same problem here, that we expect that, oh, I'm chanting. And after a few years, one gets fed up with it. And we start saying that, oh, I've chanted so much, I think I wasted a major part of my life. And jump into wrong conclusions also after that. So if one is serious about benefiting from the process of chanting, one has to accept what the authorities on the holy name has, how they have performed the chanting process. So that process is Traigunyal Bhinna Bhedam.
Bhavadihi bhuvane heenam madhyottamam yel jnanam shraddha cha karta vasati sugamidam karma chahara vedah.
That Krishna says in the Bhagavatam to Uddhava that everyone in this material world is acting under these three modes of nature. Nobody is independent of that.
Karma chahara vedah.
Karma, everyone's activity, the different kinds of activities one performs, is also under the effect of the modes of nature.
Jnanam, the knowledge what one cultivates, is under the effect of nature.
You can see that some of the knowledge what we cultivate in this material world, from the Shastric point of view, it is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. We may be thinking, oh, I have such a lot of degrees behind my name, and all these degrees, how much books I have purchased, and how many megabytes of things I have stored in my head, and so many years in the university I spent, I should be somebody very special, otherwise how could I store? Krishna's point of view, all waste of time. As far as Krishna is concerned, if it helps you, kala kshamana hedava, if it gets your belly filled up with that, fine, go ahead, Krishna says. But it doesn't help you to go back home, back to Krishna. That will only come, that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very, very clearly about that. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam, tattva jnana artha darshanam, edal jnana vidi proktam, ajnanam tadananyadhaha. Then Krishna's words are like this. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam. When one takes Krishna's instructions, Krishna's words seriously, and start accepting that and abide by them, tattva jnana artha darshanam, that one has the strong desire, a searching for the truth, absolute truth, in a philosophical search for the absolute truth. Edal jnanam idi proktam. Krishna calls that as knowledge. Ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else is considered to be, Krishna's point of view, is nothing but ignorance. So, in fact, even knowledge, what we consider as knowledge, comes under these three modes of nature. Our activities comes under the modes of nature. Our chanting process also comes under the three modes of nature. What to speak about, even our deity worship can come under the three modes of nature. That is how it is. This is how, don't think that if you just enter into deity room, oh, I'm in a totally transcendental mood, given up all other association with everything, I'm totally beyond the three modes of nature. No, one is never beyond the three modes of nature. Three modes of nature follows you like a shadow, wherever we go. So it is by cultivating the mode of goodness, by living a life in that mode of goodness, one can slowly come out of this. And at that point, we will understand that what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, aham ajnanajam tama, that tamas or ignorance, what is known as ajnanam inside, nashayam atmabhavasto, that nasham atmabhavam will come out. That means our own identity as spirit soul will come out at that point very, very strongly. Jnanadibena vasvadaha, jnanadibam, the light of knowledge will shine inside. So this knowledge does not come from outside. This knowledge comes from inside to outside. That is the difference between the other knowledge we acquire from outside, whereas this knowledge comes from inside. Why? Because the person who has the knowledge is inside. He guides you through and he gives you the knowledge at the time when he thinks that the recipient or the person who has received that is qualified to receive the knowledge. That is how this process of Vedic knowledge, that is why this knowledge is different from the other knowledge what we acquire through our senses. So, having said that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to prove this point, at one point Uddhava asked Krishna that many, many instances in the past, and Uddhava says to Krishna, many instances in the past, you have lighted this torch in my heart, you have lighted this knowledge in me. But I was so stupid, Uddhava says, I was so stupid and ignorant that the light went away after some time. Because Krishna lights it once. Krishna lighted it for Arjuna once. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the battlefield and lighted that knowledge for Arjuna. And when he heard the knowledge from Krishna, from inside, he realized it, that this is the absolute truth. Krishna's words are the absolute truth. There is no other absolute truth. What Krishna speaks, that is the absolute truth. So, when Arjuna realized it, but another time, Arjuna also lost that realization due to association with the modes of nature. That's how powerful it is. So, same thing that Uddhava said to Krishna.
you have done this to me so many times, but I am so unfortunate that I was not able to protect that knowledge inside what you gave it to me. And it was at the last minute, when Uddhava was going back to Badrinath, that Krishna once for all lighted that permanently, the knowledge in Uddhava's heart, and Uddhava's acknowledgement or acknowledges what he received. And everything what Krishna spoke in the beginning of the Ekadasha Skandam in the 11th canto, Krishna is asking one after the other, is that all clear now? Or is that all, are you experiencing that? This is how a spiritual master is supposed to tell the disciple. That is, are you actually asking the disciple? Not that intellectually you transmit some information from one point to another. That is not what is the disciple-guru relationship. Disciple-guru relationship is such that the disciple at some point has to feel, experience that whatever knowledge that has been transmitted to them by the spiritual master is experienced by the disciple in his own realizations. And then that transmission is perfect. So this is what has happened to Uddhava. Uddhava at that point, you can read Uddhava's verse, Uddhava's answer to Krishna, 3 or 4 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while he says to Krishna, whatever you have spoken to me at the beginning, that is all now I am experiencing. Unless Krishna was so sure about it, Krishna wouldn't have asked that question. Krishna knew that Uddhava was going to experience that, and that is why he asked that question. And he was satisfied, Uddhava traveled to Badrinath. So anyway, in these 8 verses, we also have to remember all these things have to be remembered. Because when you hear these 8 verses, otherwise there is Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized everything in such a nice way that one can read it, and one reads Srimad Bhagavatam, one will understand the significance of these verses. Nam nama gari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida niyamida smaranena kala edarsham tava kripa bhagavan mamami durdevam edarsham ihajani nanuragah. That in the second verse, it says there that nam nama gari bahuda nija sarva shakti. Krishna's names are unlimited names Krishna has, and all these different names has potencies also. Krishna has put a lot of potencies into them. And these names will mean to us something. Govinda, Damodara, Madhava, and so many, depending on the different pastimes what Krishna has performed. These names have become significant for the devotees. Those devotees who enjoy the pastimes of Damodara, pastimes of Damodara pastime, for him, the Damodara name becomes significant. He enjoys the name of chanting Damodara. Or those who enjoy the names of Govinda, who have seen the Govardhana Hill pastime, or who enjoys the Govardhana Hill pastime, they will be chanting that holy name. So in all these holy names, Krishna has put so much potency of him in these holy names. And how do we find that out? The proof of that is, Nam Nama Gari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti has been put into that. Tatra arpida niyamida smaranena kalam edadrisham tava kripa bhagavan mamami durdeivam idrishamiha jani nanuraga. That there it says here that if you look, this is not very difficult to understand in the modern world, because people generally think these 2 letters Krishna hasn't got all these potencies what they are talking about. It's not very difficult. You see, ever since those who study the nuclear philosophy, nuclear technology, they know that the smallest particle atom, when you split the atom, the highest amount of energy is released from that. So exactly the same way, these 2 letters Krishna is there, that atom, in that, although it looks so small in letters, but the potency inside, that means the highest amount of energy is stored in these 2 letters Krishna. That in a small particle, if there could be so much energy stored, that is the way material creation is. Material nature has created things like that. In such a small particle, that it was able to store so much energy that when it's broken up, that from that the energy that's released is capable of destroying the whole planet. So such an amount of energy is stored there. So exactly the same way, the 2 letters Krishna, there is so much potency there, but we are not able to take it out from that. That is our
incapability or incapacity to do that. And that is the problem. It is not that it's lacking in the name, but what is lacking in us, the right technology or the right capability to practice and execute that. Namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida niyamida smaranena kalam edadrisham tava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdevam edrisham yajani nanuragaha. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I am so unfortunate that Mahaprabhu, in that particular, by this second verse, Mahaprabhu's consciousness is slightly changing. That he is feeling that separation to some degree. That I am chanting, but at the same time, I am not experiencing. Although you have given us so many different names for us to enjoy, to chant and enjoy. There is a beautiful story about Jagannath Das Babaji on this. Probably some of you have already heard this story. In that story, there was our Jagannath Das Babaji, who was the spiritual master of Prabhupada's spiritual master. That means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's spiritual master. This great soul, this great personality, Jagannath Das Babaji, he was so much detached to this world that his renunciation is well known throughout the Gaudiya tradition. That there was no one else who could surpass him in renunciation. And this great personality had some disciples with him. And they were living in Vrindavan one time during one visit. They spent a lot of time there. And at that time, he had this habit, unlike many others, Jagannath Das Babaji won't go to anybody for anything. That was a strong vow he has taken. He didn't have big projects in his head, in other words. He was satisfied with the life, what he was leading. So he felt always that why I should take back from somebody for anything. If somebody gives to me something, fine, I'll take it, use it in Krishna's service. That was Jagannath Das Babaji's attitude. And seeing this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati knew this is a great soul who could not at any cost would not accept anything from anybody. This was by nature, he was like that. So, as usual in the Vaishnava system, tradition, there were so many festivals were coming one after the other and going away all the time. And these disciples were saying to Jagannath Das Babaji at one instance that so and such and such a festival is coming. Jagannath Das Babaji told him, that is no problem, it's good that these festivals, we get an opportunity to chant the holy name and also to remember Krishna. And also those great souls who appeared before and who relished the holy name. That was Jagannath Das Babaji's mind was working like that. So when the disciples informed Jagannath Das Babaji that such and such a festival was coming, Jagannath Das Babaji said, we have to celebrate in a big scale, he said. We have to celebrate in a big scale, he said. So the disciples thought that Jagannath Das Babaji is going to arrange some big feast from somewhere. He's going to get a lot of things and we'll have a big feast and everything. So the festival, they arrived and there was nothing there. There was no prasadam to offer. There was nothing was given to him. And that day, by Krishna's arrangement was such that that particular day, Jagannath Das Babaji didn't receive anything. And he, by nature, he did not want to have any taking from anybody, anything. That was his nature. So the disciples came and asked him that, how do we now celebrate? We have nothing left here. What's the problem, he said. We will just chant Hare Krishna and enjoy it, he said. So that this is the consciousness of that personality, Jagannath Das Babaji. So he simply engaged everybody. He said, we will get more time, we don't have to cook anything, because there's nothing has come, we don't have to even cook, he said. We have more time to chant now, let us chant all the time. So this is how Jagannath Das Babaji taught a lesson to his disciples, that whatever conditions comes and goes in this world, it should not matter to such a degree that the whole purpose of chanting process has to continue. And that is what he stuck to. And when that was disturbed by anybody, Jagannath Das Babaji did not want anything to do with them. He wanted to escape from the association of those people. So this is one of the instances we can see Nam Namahari Bahuda, Nija Sarva Shakti, Tatrarpida, Niyamida, Smaranina Kalam, Eda Adrisham Tamakruba, Bhagavan, Mamavi, Dundeva, Midrashamiha, Jani, Naniraga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in spite of you have done all this for me, all for us, we still have no attraction for the holy name. This is the lamentation exactly like many of us feel that why we have no attraction for the holy name. We have no attraction for the holy name. Therefore, we are not able to chant any time. We are always feeling that we are attracted to Maya. That is, Maya is pulling us out of this. That then, Trinaravishunijena, Tarorabhi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadaharim. That what consciousness one should have while chanting the holy name. That is that verse Mahaprabhu is showing to us. Trinaravishunijena, just like the grass, when it is trampled by anybody, it doesn't protest to us. It accepts that as it doesn't care, it doesn't accept, it doesn't protest to us any time. Tarorabhi Sahishnunam. All the time it is willing to tolerate any kind of offenses or insults given to it by others. Like the trees, you cut the tree, you take the fruits out of the tree, you do anything to the tree. Tree doesn't protest, it still offers us the fruit. So these things are a little difficult also sometimes because in our normal nature, our pride and our ego doesn't allow us to easily accept all these things. So sometimes it stays as verses only for us. It stays in the verse. It doesn't come to our personal life anymore. Trinaravishunijena, Tarorabhi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadaharim. That Amanina Manadena, that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there, that if one is able to understand this verse, that one Amani Manado Manyaha, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, in the thousand names of Vishnu, it is the same words what is in the Shishtashtakam. Shishtashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amani Manado Manyaha, Amani Manado Manyaha. That in the Trinaravishunijena, Tarorabhi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So if you can follow these three things, Trinaravishunijena, Tarorabhi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena. In these three conditions, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one should chant, glorify Krishna all the time. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction. Krishna says in the Bhishma Pitamaha, when he was giving up his body in the battle of Kurukshetra, when Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the other Pandavas arrived there, and it was then that these thousand names of Vishnu were spoken. In there, there is one of the qualities mentioned there of Krishna is Amani Manado Manyaha Logaswami Trilogadrit. That Krishna is a personality like this, that for himself he doesn't want any recognition from anyone. He doesn't need. But at the same time, he is very particular that his devotees are recognized. That is how Krishna is. Amani Manado Manyaha Logaswami Trilogadrak. That Logaswami Trilogadrak, in the thousand names, it is given very important point that this attitude is necessary. If Krishna can have this attitude, why is that we are finding it so difficult? Again, the same problem to the lower modes of nature. Due to association with the lower modes of nature, we have a difficulty to get over it. Krishna is beyond the three modes of nature. So Krishna is not affected by these lower modes of nature. Trinaravishunijena, Tarorabhi Sahishnuna, Amanina Amanadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So you can see that if one has the three levels of realization, and if one is able to chant Krishna's holy name constantly, then there is nothing more necessary to go back to Krishna. That, and then what happens? Nadhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahai dugitvayim. That this is a very important verse because this verse is also reflecting our life in this world. Because generally, all of us work in this world for what? Dhanam, janam, sundari. These are the three things what is keeping us going in this world. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. That dhanam is the first thing, the wealth that is attracting all of us. We want to, as much as possible, earn wealth here. But when that desire grows strongly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it will be difficult to develop Krishna consciousness. That is one of the problems. That this dhanam is such a thing that it can drive us away from the goal of life or the main purpose of life. Dhanam is useful as long as it is utilized and kept to the limit what is necessary. Beyond that, if one runs after dhanam, eventually the very dhanam will destroy his life. Na dhanam, once one has plenty of wealth, what is the next thing what he looks for? He looks for janam, that he wants followers. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. That is true everywhere. You can see that it is the material world or spiritual world. It's the same thing. There's no difference. That once you have dhanam, once you have established, then you want janam follow you. That is, these things are not considered proper from the Vedic tradition. From the Vedic aspect, these things are not considered appropriate. That devotee's relationship with Krishna is a relationship which is between the devotee and Krishna. And nobody else has any monopoly on that. Nobody else has anything to do with it. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. Then when one has acquired a lot of wealth and acquired a lot of followers, then he is willing to sacrifice everything for the next thing, sundarim, for the beautiful, what he finds himself beautiful in that form. Whatever that he has found there, he is willing to sacrifice that. That's why it is said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamayim. Then the fruitive activities is taking him in all these things. He gets attracted to mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhakti ahedugitvayim. That you can see from that two lines, mama janmani janmani ishwari. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying there, that you have to get this one thing called these two letters, bhakti, only through bhakti bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvayim. Mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvayim. That Mahaprabhu is saying, or praying to Krishna is, that life after life, I should get that desire to have that devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is what Mahaprabhu is requesting there, that one should look forward to. And that what kind of bhakti? Ahaidugi tvayim. That ahaidugi, without any motivation, that is the kind real devotion. That kind of devotion is very, very hard. In the beginning, everyone's devotion is motivated. That is difficult to change in the beginning. But it is known as sakama bhakti. Sakama bhakti means devotion with material motives or material desires or motivated devotion. But it is this sakama bhakti, in course of time, when one is practicing in that, automatically he comes out of that and becomes nishkama bhakti, or free from the motivations, material motivations. So this bhakti, what Mahaprabhu has mentioned here, mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai. That life after life, Mahaprabhu is saying there, let me have devotion at Krishna's lotus feet. That without any unadulterated, without any motivations, let the devotion develop. Ai nanda tanuja kinjaram patidamam shame bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangajastidaduli sadrasham vijindaya. That my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, that is how most of the devotees of Krishna who relish Krishna's childhood, they would not like to call Krishna as Krishna. They would like to call either as son of Mother Yashoda or son of Nanda Baba or Nanda Maharaj. That is how we find in many instances, Vilavangalam also will call, rather than calling Krishna, he will always call him Nanda Nandana, Nanda Maharaj's son. That's how he addresses Krishna. Here also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressing Krishna, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavam Budhaum. That Mahaprabhu says, there, acting as a devotee, he is on behalf of us. Mahaprabhu is saying, Mahaprabhu has not fallen into any condition. It is us who has fallen. But for us, while instructing us, he is explaining, Mahaprabhu is telling us that this should be your consciousness. Patidamam vishami bhavam budhaum. That I have fallen down. What have I fallen into? I have fallen into this ocean, or the ocean of ignorance. Vishame bhavambuda, ignorance and the repeated cycle of birth and death. Those who are accepts the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, or those who accept the words of Krishna seriously in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to accept that we are constantly changing our bodies, and that process of changing the body is not a very pleasant thing. That is how Krishna explains that. It is not a very pleasant thing to change the bodies all the time. Everyone wants to be situated permanently, but this body doesn't allow us to do that. So that is what bhavam indicates there. Patitamam vishami bhavam budham. That somehow or the other, in the human body, we got that opportunity to come out of it. So therefore, he says to Krishna, Ainanda tanuja kingaram patitamam vishami bhavam budham. That I am your servant, but this is my condition here. Kripaya tava pada pangajastira duli sadrasham vijindayam. That considering Krishna's lotus feet, in the lotus flower, just like there is a powder inside the lotus flower, if you look. And although the lotus flower is staying in the water, and the water keep pushing the lotus flower here and there, the powder doesn't fall off. It stays inside the lotus flower. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Krishna, that patidamam vishami bhavam budho kripaya tava pada pangajastira duli sadrisham vijindayam. Just like that powder inside the lotus flower, let me stay at your lotus feet, addressing Krishna. This is what Mahaprabhu says, so that I may not fall off from that lotus feet, I can somehow release your association at your lotus feet. This is how Mahaprabhu prayed to Krishna. Nayanam galada shudhareyam vadanam gadgadarudhaya giraah pulager nichidam kada vabu tavannam grahane bhavishyadim. Then from now on, Mahaprabhu's mood is a little different. He is lamenting, when will this happen to me? Up to this he was saying to Krishna, that please do this for me, please do this for me. Let me do this, let me do this. And now he is saying, when will that happen? Mayanam galada shudhareyam. When will I experience the ecstasy of chanting the holy name of Krishna? When my ears will be filled with tears, that I am able to release the holy name to that degree. Mayanam vadanam gadgadarudhaya giraha. That when will the tears start coming down my cheeks, that I am relishing of chanting that holy name. Pulager nichidam kada vabu tavannama grahane bhavishyadim. When will that happen, that my hair will stand up, and I'll experience that ecstasy of chanting your holy name? When will that happen to me? This is how Mahaprabhu said to Krishna. Nayanam galada shukhareya vadanam gadgadarudhaya giraha pulager nichidam kada vabu tavannama grahane bhavishyadim. So from these verses, one can understand that the process of chanting the holy name of Krishna, as it progresses, these things are likely to happen in a person's life. This is bound to happen, because that is the potency of the holy name. If one chants offenselessly, and if one chants the holy name sincerely, with commitment to advance, with the process of advancing in spiritual life, and without being attached, na dhanam na janam na sundarim, that if one is free from this kind of attachment, automatically it will bring that results also. Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda varahe namim. That yuga idam, every yugam is a very long period of time. Mahaprabhu says to Krishna, yuga idam nimeshena, it appears to me, it's like a second it goes through. Chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe namin. That in the association, in when Krishna is not there, that I am not have that relationship with Krishna or Govinda. In that situation, what is my condition? Shunya idam jagal sarvam. That the whole world looks empty, a complete zero to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. This is the state of an exalted devotee. This is not for us to think about, oh, why I'm not feeling like that. I feel this world is extremely beautiful place to live and to enjoy. This is my conception. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception is Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam. That Jagal Sarvam, this whole creation itself, the universe itself, Mahaprabhu finds that without Krishna's association, that what is it there? What is it worth having anything here? Govinda Virahenamim. After this verse was spoken, Mahaprabhu fell into an ecstatic mood. And that is how it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu's mood suddenly changed. Why? Because he felt that up to this point, I have been complaining about my condition to Krishna. First I asked him for so many things. In the second stage, I was telling him, why not do this for me? But then Mahaprabhu took the mood of Radharani at that point. And that is why the last verse in the 8 verses is completely different. In these last words of the Shatashtakam, Mahaprabhu's mood is completely like Radharani's mood. Radharani, after leaving the Rasa dance, when Krishna left everybody and went away, and after that, all the gopis met together and they discussed the topic, how to get Krishna back again. They decided that there is nothing we can do. They realized it. That this kind of people, there is no point in searching after them. They are not going to come back. This strong realization came to the gopis at that time. So who was the leader of all the gopis at that time? It was Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, because she was the leader among the gopis, all the other gopis accepted what Srimati Radharani said. So Radharani said to them that it is no point searching after these people. They will do what they like. You can't get anything from them. But all we can do is, we'll sit here and simply cry for him. And if he is merciful, one day he will appear. And that is what they did. And that is what in the Bhagavatam comes as Gopiya Geetam. So that Gopiya Geetam, what Radharani and the other gopis sung, eventually Krishna wanted to experience their attachment for him. This is why Krishna deliberately kept out of their vision. And he was listening to everything, but they could not see him any time. That is how Krishna performed that pastime. So eventually, when everything was over, Krishna appeared, came here, dancing in front of the gopis. And that is that description of Krishna coming back and taking every single gopi. At that time, Krishna expanded himself into many, many forms and started dancing with each of the gopis. Keshapashadridapinjikavitatisanjalanmagarakundalam harajalavanamanigalanidamangaragaghanasaurabham pithachelandrudakanjikanjidamudanjadamshumanunuburam rasakelibaribhushidam tavahi rubamishakalayamahe. That rasa dance was going on like this. And at that time, the gopi fell into serious, tremendous ecstasy when Krishna came back to them again. They felt that something they have lost forever, as though they have retained it, got it back. And that is that mood which comes in the next word. Ashrishyava padaradam pinashtumam. Gopi said to Krishna, you can do whatever you like with us. We haven't got anything to protest, because Ashrishyavam, if you embrace us, we feel extremely pleased. But Padaradam Pinashtamam, or if you just grind us under your feet and not caring for us anything, we will still accept that. Adarshanam, even if you go away from our vision, you disappear from our vision. Marmahadam Karoduva, that it will be like splitting our head. Because we will feel that separation so strongly. Yatadatava vidadadulembado mapranadhastunayamanaparam. That they know that Krishna has a relationship with so many people. Not only with me, every gopi knew about that. But knowing very well Krishna's habit is like that, they're saying to Krishna that even if it is like that, we have no problem with you. Still, please do not disappear from our friend. And that was the degree of surrender they were willing to go down to. No one else in this world could surrender like the way the gopis have surrendered to Krishna. And it is purely because of this that Krishna has given them the topmost position as the devotees, you can see, the higher the degree of surrender, the greatest is the devotee becomes. And the lower the degree of surrender, that is the level of Krishna's reciprocation of love to the devotees. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, referring to the gopis, there is a very, very, very specific statement from Krishna, why they have been given that special position. That neither they performed any austerities or penances, nor did they perform any study of the Vedic literature. What have they done? All they have done is that they have associated with Krishna and understood how to please Krishna. This was their greatest asset. So without studying any Vedic literature, without performing any sacrifices, without performing any austerities and penances, gopis became the greatest devotees of Krishna because of their attitude towards Krishna. Ashleshyava padaridam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva yathadadava vidhadadulambado matpranamadhastuneyamanaparam. That is the way that the gopis have approached Krishna. So those who follow the footsteps of the gopis, those who follow the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the great devotees who follow in that same tradition, this is the message Mahaprabhu gave through the Shikshashtakam. So Shikshashtakam teaches us only one thing, that chanting is the process. But simultaneously with chanting, this surrender is also necessary. Otherwise, chanting, it is not that the holy name doesn't have the potency, but the degree of surrender, what Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami has exhibited in their relationship with Krishna, is the key, or along with the chanting process, when that happens, automatically that chanting becomes powerful. And just like Rupa Goswami mentioned about the chanting process, that the dancing of the two letters in the tongue begins at that time. Then it is known that Mahaprabhu, although mentioned this in these eight verses, throughout history you will find there are many, many personalities who chanted the holy name and attained perfection. There are so many personalities in all places. And if you look into many of them known, many of them unknown also, sometimes due to circumstances, but they had the opportunity to chant the holy name, and they have received the holy name and realized that this holy name is adequate to go back home, back to Krishna. So when they realized that, they took it seriously. And the result was that they all had the good fortune of Krishna coming and giving them that realization at the time of leaving the body. Because it is in the time of leaving the body, it is a crucial test in one's life. What is one has succeeded, how much one has succeeded in spiritual life. And Kulashekhara Alwar, who wrote Mukundamala, he refers specifically to this point, that Jayadu Jayadu Devo Devagi Nanda Suno Jayadu Jayadu Krishna Vrishni Vamshat Pradeepa Jayadu Jayadu Megha Shyamala Komalanga Jayadu Jayadu Pudhuvi Bharanasho Mukunda. That addressing Krishna, it was mentioned there, that Jayadu Jayadu Devo Devagi Nanda Suino Jayadu Jayadu Krishna Vrishni Vamshat Pradeepa Jayadu Jayadu Megha Shyamala Komalanga Jayadu Jayadu Pradhumi Bharanasho Mukundam. Then at last he said to him, Krishna Tudiya Padabangaja Vanjarandam. That addressing Krishna, Kulashekhara Alwar, he was a king, and the king is praying like this to Krishna. So you can imagine what a personality he must have been to pray to Krishna in this way. Krishna tudiya pada pangaja panjarandam. That he was executing his duty as a king purely because out of his responsibility, feeling of responsibility. This is a job Krishna has entrusted me. I have to carry out doing that. So he did that in that consciousness. But at the same time he was conscious that one day the so-called kingdom, the wealth, everything will be taken away from him. So he was preparing himself for the death. And in this one particular verse, he packaged these things very nicely. Jayadu Jayadu Krishna Atodiya Padabangaja Pancharandam
Advaivami Shadumanasa Rajahamsa.
That just like in the muddy water, there are the swans running around, and sometimes they get entangled in the different lotus flower which is standing there, and they get tied down while playing in that water. So what did Kulashekara Alva thought, saw this in a lake, and he was thinking in his mind, this is not a bad thing. And these swans were enjoying that in the water when they were playing there, because they could see that constantly they were getting entangled in the water with the stem of the lotus flower, and they were trying to pull out from that. And Kulashekara Alva says to Krishna, when I saw that, he said to Krishna, that my mind came up to this condition. I thought like this, he said. And that is the beauty of that statement. Krishna todiya padapangaja pancharandam advaivame shadumanasa rajahamsam. That your lotus feet is such that my mind, exactly like the way they were getting stuck there in the lotus flower, with your lotus feet, my mind also should get stuck in that way. Why? Pranaprayana samaye. When the spirit soul is leaving this body, when the life is leaving this body and going back to the next body, which we do not know what it will be, what condition we are going to be. Pranaprayana samaye. Kapha vada pitta ikandhavaro dhanavidho smaranam kudaste. Then he asked Krishna. Krishna asked Kulashekara Alva, that why are you saying all these things to me now? Kulashekara Alva told Krishna that if I don't tell you now, let me tell you what will happen to me at the time of death. Why? Pranaprayana samaye. When the life soul, the soul is trying to leave this body, move on to its next destination. Pranaprayana samaye kapha vada pitaihi. That kapham, vadam and pitam, air, bile and mucus, what we are made of, according to the Ayurveda. These things, it loses its balance and it will start coming to the throat. And when it comes to the throat, we can see at the time when many times when people normally die, this mucus comes and starts stopping our breathing. Or at the time it is so difficult to breathe properly. And sometimes you see the doctors and the nurses, they take out the mucus from inside, from the throat, by using some tool. Take it out, so it makes it easier for the person to breathe. Pranaprayana samaye kapha vada pitta ikandhavaro dhanavidho smaranam kudaste. Then when all these things are choking me, Kulashekara Alva asked Krishna, how will I remember you at that time? Kudaste, how can I remember you at that time? Therefore, when I am now healthy in my good consciousness, let my mind get attached to your lotus feet. Krishna appreciated Kulashekara Alva's prayers, and that is why Mukundamala is accepted as one of the finest classical books on the Krishna conscious literature. So this is basically the Shikshashtakam. And Shikshashtakam points out, as one studies and reads and constantly chanting that, also gives us a better understanding of the process of chanting. When one mind is dragged away, one is disturbed by other things, and one gets distracted, if one chants the holy name while reciting Shikshashtakam, Shikshashtakam will remind him that what kind of consciousness is necessary to chant the holy name of Krishna. So that is what it makes it more interesting. Mahaprabhu didn't write many books, as I said before. He wrote only the Shikshashtakam. But through Shikshashtakam, Mahaprabhu wanted the whole world to realize the potency of chanting the holy name and how to safeguard the chanting process. So this is the in essence the Shikshashtakam. So Mahaprabhu spoke Shikshashtakam, and the Shikshashtakam, through the mercy of Sri Damodar and the other great devotees, it has come to Charanacharitamrita. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami at the very end of Charanacharitamrita put these verses in, because whole of Charanacharitamrita is directed towards only one thing, that is to chant Krishna's holy name. That is the ultimate goal of all these things, that one chants all the time, and one chants with the right understanding. That as much as one chants in that understanding, automatically the holy name has its own potency. It will come. It has to have its effect also. It cannot go away. So you can see that the chanting process is very effective. It is not something to be taken very lightly. But at the same time, when one chants it appropriately, in the proper way, as it is, as Mahaprabhu has mentioned, and it will in due course makes a person, or the person who is chanting, there are so many stories in the history, that so many great, great devotees who chanted all the time. And from that chanting process, they went back home, back to Krishna. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around this one principle of chanting the holy name. Nothing else. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Idam Bhagavatam Namam. Name of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam. Puranam Brahma Samhitam, Brahma Samhitam. That Lord Brahma has confirmed that this is the Puranam of the holy name. That why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important compared to all other Puranas, that is also we have to understand. That in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote 18 Puranas. All the 18 Puranas were compiled by him. But his own son, Sukadeva Goswami, picked Srimad Bhagavatam out of that. He didn't pick any one of the others. That is why it makes it more important. A personality like Sukadeva Goswami picked Srimad Bhagavatam out of that. Why he picked Srimad Bhagavatam? Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's holy name is glorified more than anything else. That is why. Patidas kalido vartha shutvava vivasho bhruvan hareye nama ityu chai uchare sarva bhadagal. The complete distress will go away, or sinful activities is wiped out as soon as one chants Hare Nama Ityuchai Uchade Sarva Bhadagal. Sinful reactions are taken away when one chants the holy name. Ajamila story is teaching us, and so many other stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us only this one thing. So for those who are trying to follow Srimad Bhagavatam, this is like two tracks, a railway line with two tracks. One line is the story of Srimad Bhagavatam, the other track is the holy name. When one is traveling on this, there is no possibility of derailing any time. It goes, the train goes straight back to Krishna. So, I'll stop there. If there's any questions.
When Mahaprabhu showed the six standard of form, that Kamarada, Krishna, and Mr. Rao combined form, Ramananda, and Mahaprabhu asked Ravi not to tell anybody this form, why it is.
Yes. When the different forms, Mahaprabhu never wanted to be advertised any time that he was Krishna. It is only with the mercy of the devotees of Mahaprabhu that we realize who was Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu, in certain instances, this show also shows that only when one is qualified to understand Krishna, Krishna reveals up to that degree to him. That sometimes you think that why Krishna is not showing me everything, what I'm asking for, or looking, giving me the knowledge. Because we are not qualified. It's a qualification that makes a person to understand these things. So Mahaprabhu's case was also, Ramananda Rai's case, Ramananda Rai was a close confidential associate of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu revealed that form to him. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu never wanted any time that rest of the world has to worship him any time, because he was tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness through the holy name. And he left the message to the world, and he trained people to give the instructions to them to preach this message of chanting the holy name to the world and take advantage of it. And Mahaprabhu, after winding up his pastime, went back to the spiritual world. So, in these instances, we may ask all kinds of questions you can ask about it. Why he did it? Why he did that? The answer is that the activities of great souls, personalities, are never to be questioned. Why they did that? Why? Because, the reason is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Once Parikshit Maharaj asked Sri Sukadeva Goswami, I think it is in the 10th canto itself, that after the Krishna's Rasa dance, question came up, has Krishna acted properly, whether it was moral what he did, that so many gopis arrived there to dance with Krishna. So all these questions started coming up. There is a word, Shishuvan says there to Parikshit Maharaj, that great personalities, you cannot ask why they did that. That is not proper. It's not proper because when they do these things, you also have to remember that they are capable of doing things which ordinary people are not. The rules and regulations of this world are for the ordinary people who are not capable of going beyond that. And he gave the example of the sun planet. The sun is capable of drawing any impurity in this world. It's capable of doing that. Tejiyasamna doshaya, that any fault what we find, any impurity, when touched by sun, it is purified automatically. So similarly, the activities of the great personalities are difficult to understand why it happened or why they did that. For a devotee, one has to only understand that that is how Mahaprabhu wanted to perform the pastime in that mood, and that's what he did. So it is difficult to say anything more than that. And many things what Mahaprabhu discussed with the devotees is sometimes difficult for us to understand. Ramananda Roy's life, for example, sometimes it's very difficult to understand Ramananda Roy's pastimes, that especially he was bathing young girls, and Mahaprabhu says there that somebody tried to find fault with that. Mahaprabhu said, no, you can't say that. You don't know who is Ramananda Roy, he said at that time. So like this, unless and until we understand their real position and we have a realization of that level, it is difficult to judge them or to understand them.
How does Lord Shiva's devotion?
Yes. This statement is not from me, it is by Krishna himself. It's in the Bhagavatam, you can see in the 11th canto. Krishna says there, neither Lord Balaram, nor Lord Shiva, nor anybody else is as dear to me as you are, the gopis are. That's Krishna's statement. So, to make a judgment on somebody, what is his level of devotion, the right person to make the decision is the person who is actually being to whom you are devoted to, isn't it? For example, gopis are devoted to Krishna. After the Rasa dance was over, then Sri Shugan was observing all these things, what was happening there. So he mentioned about this like this. Brahma Shankara Mukhanupiha Pashupangana Subahumanayan. After the Rasa dance was over, what was happening was Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and many others were paying their obeisances to the gopis. So from this, what do we understand? Gopis' position is so high. That's what we have to understand. That relationship, that affection and love, what gopis had shown to Krishna, nobody could offer that. That was their unique position or very special position. And that one can never achieve that also. It is so high. Then, of course, we have to understand who these gopis are. They were all great sages in their previous lives. Krishijayaris and they were women from the demigods, from the heavenly planets and all. But still, in that particular body, whatever they have, the devotion they have exhibited to Krishna, even Lord Shiva could never do that. Although Lord Shiva is a very elevated personality, Krishna himself, in expanded form, and he is the leader or the person who authorized a full parampara or tradition under his name, still, gopis' devotion is still higher than all that.
Higher because that is what has placed Krishna. That is why it is so important. Krishna was ultimately, who is the judge? Krishna is the judge, none of us. Only Krishna can judge who is the greatest devotee. And if Krishna says, you are my devotee, you are my devotee, there's nobody else can stop that. So in that instance in the Bhagavadam, Tena Adhida Shudigana Noba Seda Mahatama Avrada Taptadavasa Salsanganmam Upagadaha. That is how Bhagavadam says. That Tena Adhida Shudigana, these gopis never studied one Vedic literature. They never had anything with them. You never find gopis taking Rigveda or Yajurveda and reading anything. You don't find it anywhere mentioned in the Bhagavad. Tena Adhida Shudigana Noba Seda Mahatama. That they never, I mean, sometimes we say that you have to please the great devotees to get their mercy, to advance spiritually. We say that, isn't it? No Vasida Mahatama. They have not done anything like that. Avrada Dapta Damasaha. That you don't find anywhere gopis have gone to the caves in Himalayas or performed any austerities or penances, anything like that. Gopis have never done that. All you find in the Bhagavadam is that gopis have once performed a 41 days or so Katyayini Vadam to please Goddess Katyayini. They performed and ended up in all problems at the end with that. So, Avrana Tapta Davasa Salsangan Maam Upagadaha. Then at the end, what happened was gopis reached the topmost position. Although they didn't do any of these things, only for one reason, Salsangan Maam Upagadaha. That purely due to the association. So Krishna asked the Gopi, Uddhava asked Krishna, whose association did they have to get to that situation? Krishna said, they had my association. This was Krishna's answer to that. So you can see from that, that any Vedic literature, knowledge, nothing helps, as long as the heart is clear, clean inside. That is what brings Krishna closer, nothing else. Everything else is only for whose purpose the Shastras have written. Shastras have been written for the sake of those who have a lot of doubts about all these things. To clarify all the doubts and cut through all the problems of the mind, the Shastras were written. But gopis didn't have any such problem. Right from the day Krishna appeared in Gokul, right up to the day when the gopis left this world, they said to Krishna, what kept us going after 12 years when Krishna left Vrindavan and went away? What kept them going in this world? In the Bhagavadam it says that they simply chanted, they were simply singing the glories of the pastimes of Krishna in the childhood, the time they spent with Krishna. So that's what kept them going. From this you can see the attachment the gopis had for Krishna is something which is not possible even for Lord Shiva or Balaram could have. So that's why they are put into that category more than anybody else.
You mentioned, thank you for the nice lecture that you gave. You mentioned in your lecture that when we're chanting, doing deity worship, three modes of material natures are taking place. But shouldn't the whole, and the waste of time if we don't do it in the right thing, surely chanting and should purify us in the long run anyway.
Yes, it does, yes. Chanting will purify. But when we haven't got the right understanding of things, I may be chanting for year after year, but after 10 years I'm saying nothing has happened, changed in me. So that situation shouldn't happen. One should think that it hasn't happened, I haven't purified myself because I have not followed the instructions carefully. That while chanting, as I said, there are three modes even while chanting. In the mode of chanting in the mode of ignorance, chanting in the mode of passion, and chanting in the mode of goodness. So all these different processes, obviously, chanting in the mode of goodness will yield faster results. Chanting in the mode of ignorance also has some benefit, no doubt about it. Holy name has its own benefit. But when the mind is too much infected with the lower modes of nature, this is the reason why we say that one should get up in the morning early and chant, one. Number two, the morning hours is free from the lower modes of nature. Brahma Muhurtam is because of this only reason. That earlier you get up and chant in the 3-4 hours or 2 hours, whatever that is possible, that will have a much higher impact on a person's life than what you chant in the evening, 10 o'clock at night, when you're going to bed. So it's a different condition at that time. Unknowingly, all the lower modes of nature affects us during the day. And therefore, it's necessary to chant in the mode of goodness. Therefore, the best time is in the morning hours. Now, even if you are chanting, even in the morning hours, it is also possible that you can be still affected by the lower modes. It's not that it's free from that. Therefore, one has to keep one's life always under control, not to get affected by the lower modes. You have to be protect always your life, all the time, not to get infected by the lower modes of nature. And as and when Krishna says lower modes of nature is affecting you, you should read Srimad Bhagavatam, read about Krishna, and that will protect you from that. Because that is the way Krishna has spoken about Bhagavatam. That these two things, chanting process, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, just like they say, like a train on a two rails, you have to go simultaneously, both things together. And you will see it will work at the end. It will work. And it takes time, but it will work. It's only if it's not working faster, it's only due to our own anarthas inside. There's only cause behind it. And this chanting process, if it is done seriously, of course, we have problems with our body, our mind, dragging us all the time in different directions. And then when one is entangled family life, that is another thing. And social life, this, that and the other. So many unwanted things. And it is in the middle of all these things you are trying to practice spiritual life. So you can imagine why it is so difficult that you are not making enough progress. And you always feel that also. But still we shouldn't give up. Continue doing it.
Lord Chaitanya says there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. How should we understand that?
Hard and fast rules means that you can chant all the time. There is no hard and fast rule. That's what it means. You can hard any time you can chant in any conditions. You can chant. In other words, for example, when Mahaprabhu was talking about it, you have to remember under what background he was talking about this. Mahaprabhu comes from a very, very highly cultured Brahmana family. Naturally, Brahmanas generally have very tight restrictions while executing their spiritual life. They will follow that very strictly. And for a long period of time they did follow. It's only nowadays you find everything has become disturbed. But Mahaprabhu's time, I'm sure, it is absolutely certain that the Brahmanas, they practice spiritual life in a serious way, very serious level. In other words, while executing the deity worship, process of deity worship, and chanting the Veda mantras generally recited by the Brahmanas. Normally, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, all these mantras, different rigs they are called in there. They are recited by the Brahmanas in the temples in the early hours in the morning for hours together. But before they come in, they bathe themselves, clean themselves, and perform some of the purificatory processes. They do all these things. Before they start chanting the mantra, they purify themselves through pranayama and all the other associated. There are mudras and other things they do. All these things are necessary to chant the Vedic mantras. Otherwise, they feel, and before they enter into the deity's room, they purify themselves. Not that they just get down from the car and straight walk into the deity room. That's never done. It's in the modern world, everything is happening. But that was not the system. So many conditions are there before you start chanting the mantras in the Vedic literature. For example, the Rudra Chamakam. And there are so many things, mantras in the Vedic tradition. So to chant them, they prepare themselves first for doing that. Only when they feel that they are ready to chant that, inside they will know it, that they are pure enough now, that they can start chanting this mantra. Then they will start chanting them. But what Mahaprabhu is saying is that such conditions are not required for the holy name. Holy name you can chant anywhere. If you chant the holy name sometime, it says that the holy name itself will purify you. After a while, it will take away all the ignorance from your mind and makes it pure. Then you start chanting properly. You can see experience also, those who are chanting seriously, they will accept this point that when they start chanting first time, For the first 3 or 4 rounds, they find it very hard to go further. But after a few rounds, you chant, and if you are not too much affected by the external world, you will also relish chanting much more. After the few rounds, you want to chant further. And that is the kind of consciousness that chanting brings. And this is what Mahaprabhu means by that. That there is no conditions like the Vedic restrictions on the other mantra, what you chant normally. Then we'll stop there. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.